is someone that I met at, if I remember correctly, the 2005 Al-Anon Adult Children Festival in Swift Current. And to the best of my knowledge, she's been at everyone since then, as far as I can recall, and is currently, I believe, serving as the area treasurer. Is that correct? No? No. Not anymore. Just finished. Okay. See, I'm out of the loop on the whole on the assembly stuff these days. But she's been coming here every year and been a part of our little community here. And it's about time we got her up to a podium, I think. So with that, I would like to call our friend Shelley up to share.
Can I do it over this? Okay, I need Karen's 13th step. See, you're not alone. And I brought notes because... otherwise, I get lost. So, my name's Shelley, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Shelley.
I really like this year's theme, which is a slogan that I learned in Al-Anon. Together, we can make it. And for me, the most important word in that sentence is the word me, not me, we. That simple word has changed my life and has been the key to my Al-Anon recovery. Growing up in an alcoholic home, I was always well taken care of and never suffered any kind of abuse. I knew I was loved, but no one ever said it out loud. We never showed any physical affection for each other, and we never talked about what was happening in our home and the effect that my father's alcoholism had on our family. What other people thought and said was very important to us, and so we all tried very hard to keep up appearances to the outside world. And I learned at a young age to stuff my feelings and to keep secrets and to figure things out for myself. I was the youngest of four children, and we lived on a farm, so my parents were always busy with the field work, the barnyard chores, or gardening. So I, of course, had to help out do all those things, and I also learned at an early age how to do the housework and to cook meals. But I also did spend a lot of time on my own as a child. And, you know, our family didn't talk, we didn't trust, we didn't feel, all of which I know now are important requirements for healthy relationships. But I grew up thinking that this was the this way of living and the lack of communication was normal, if there is ever such a thing as normal. And, you know, I was lucky that my dad actually quit drinking. I think I was 13 or 14. And he never, ever started to drink again after that. And my parents were active in the program, my mom in Al-Anon and my dad in AA. But that was a lot of years ago, and things have changed a lot. But this lack of communication, I believe, was the main reason why my first marriage failed. And by the time I entered the doors of Al-Anon just 7 years ago, my second marriage was in trouble as well. I felt like I was going crazy, and I didn't have the strength to continue down the path I was on. You can see I'm not exactly a spring chicken anymore, so I lived in that dysfunctional lifestyle for many years, and so my current husband and my children have also been affected by the family disease of alcoholism. Growing up with those things, I became a perfectionist. I was very codependent. I was judgmental. I was arrogant. I was thought I was right, like I was hearing earlier. I was very controlling, and I was really busy taking care of everyone and everything around me, and yet I felt totally alone in the world. The only person that I wasn't taking care of was myself. They say that the disease of alcoholism is cunning and baffling, and that certainly explains why I was so surprised when my counselor told me that I qualified for Al-Anon. It never once dawned on me all that time that there might be a different way to live. I could see the effect that alcoholism had on everyone else in my family, in my family of origin. My sister married an alcoholic, and I believe my two brothers are also alcoholic. But I hadn't married an alcoholic, and I never became an alcoholic, and so I thought I was doing everything just right. But things weren't going, were certainly not going well in my life, and I decided to take that advice and go to Al-Anon. But I was expecting you to tell me how to fix everything and everybody so that I could go right back to doing the things that I used to do and have things the way they used to be and be that normal, what I thought was normal again. But all you did was smile and say, keep coming back, and that's what I've done. I think everyone has heard what the definition of craziness is doing the same things over and over again, yet expecting different results. Well, no one ever told me that was the way I was supposed to live, but that is what I experienced and learned for myself while I was growing up in an alcoholic home. So now that I'm in Al-Anon, I've learned some very important things that have helped change my life. And I made a list of those things. I learned that I'm not alone in the world. There are many others who have experienced the same things that I have. I learned that it's okay to ask for help, although I'm still not very good at that. I need practice on that. I learned that I'm not crazy and I'm not stupid, but that I'm a good person. I learned that it's okay to talk, trust, and feel, but I still to this day have trouble with communication, so that workshop comes in handy for sure. I learned that I have choices and I don't have to react to what other people do or say. I learned that I have a higher power that loves me unconditionally. When I came to the program, the God word, I didn't really want to have to hear much about that. I learned that I can surrender my problems to my higher power and I can detach with love from my family and other people in my life. I learned how to let it begin with me, and that when I get busy, I get better. And service work has been a very important aspect of my recovery. I learned progress, not perfection, because my perfectionism, I used to pat myself on the back for that, and I don't anymore. I don't see it as a gift anymore. I learned that it's not my job to control and take care of everyone and everything. I try to remember what's inside the hula hoop and what's outside of it. I learned that my higher power is in charge and that what I want is not always what is best for me. I learned that gratitude reduces fear, and I used to live with a lot of fear, and I don't so much anymore. I learned how to take care of myself and relax, sometimes a little too much. I learned how important is it, and I learned easy does it. Some of the gifts I've received from Al-Anon are I have serenity and gratitude for everything in my life, even the bad times, because that's where I've learned the most. I have faith in a higher power, and I have spirituality in my life. I have improved relationships with my spouse, my children, family members, friends, and coworkers. I have support from a loving sponsor and many wonderful Al-Anon friendships. I have an awesome Al-Anon adult children home group. And I'll give a little shout out to the Healing Hearts Adult Children Group in Regina. I have service work, and I have a sense of belonging and confidence from that. I have love, acceptance, and trust of myself and others, happiness, contentment, and I have laughter in my life. So I'm very thankful for the Al-Anon program and the 12 steps and traditions that guide our groups and our lives, and it gives me the tools that I need to live my life in a healthier way. So here I am 7 years later, and there was no quick fix for me. My life today is certainly not perfect. Just when I think things are going really good, I find myself back at step one again, and life continues to roll along. But I know that I have the tools that I need, and Al-Anon will be a part of my life forever. Recovery is a lifelong process. So it's really comforting for me to know that whatever happens in my life, everything will be okay, because together we can make it. Thank you for the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope.
Okay, I have a resentment. Just one. Shelley just said in 10 minutes what takes me an hour to do. Our next speaker is the only one of the four who actually expressed a preference in, on speaker order, and he asked to go second. So I'd like to invite our friend Stacy up to speak, please.
Hi, I'm Stacy. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I am grateful to be here. I'm really not here, but here. When Richard asked me to speak, I never wanted to do these things. I get so nervous every time, but you guys have taught me to say never say no. And I, right from the start, I've been doing whatever you guys have told me to do because it's working. It's really changing my life. And I know when I first got into program, I had no hope in my life. I still go to four different fellowships. So, anyways, with Al-Anon, it's teaching me so much on how to live life on life's terms, and that's what I didn't know how to do. Growing up, we moved around from town to town, and always new groups of friends, and I always felt like a misfit. I didn't feel I belonged. And I found so many different ways to hide from myself. Once I became a father, I thought that was one of the greatest gifts I ever had. That marriage didn't work out, and so I became a part-time dad. And then when I got into recovery through another 12-step group, and I was in for about a year and a half, and then my daughter's insanity started taking over, and I didn't know how to deal with that. When I came into Al-Anon, I know now I was a completely lost soul. I didn't know how to let go. I didn't know how to let others suffer the consequences of their own actions. And I know that detachment leaflet that Al-Anon endorses. After my first meeting, I slept with that thing on my chest because I was scared to death. My daughter had run away from home, and in my head, she was going to commit suicide. She was going to overdose on drugs. I didn't know what she was going to do. She had ran away from home, and found out later she had moved in with her drug-dealing boyfriend. And every bit of me just wanted to go grab her and drag her home and keep her safe, do it out of love. And you guys told me to let her go, love her, and let her make her own mistakes. And it took every bit of, it wasn't my will, every bit of you guys teaching me how to let go, to let her suffer the consequences of her own actions, and to just love her. And her and I have an absolutely wonderful relationship today because of that. And it turns out she was trying to 12-step the guy. So I had carried the message to that point of where she was trying to save this guy. And me, I thought she just wanted to run rampant. So she wasn't even doing all the things that were I thought she was doing in my head, you know. Anyways, once we got that all kind of sorted out, I didn't stop coming. I wanted to, you guys had something that I wanted, and I kept sticking around, and I kept working through this. And then throughout the last few years, and through the help of the other fellowships as well, but learning how to deal with life on life's terms, you know, using these 12 steps to clean up that wreckage of my past, and now the 12 traditions on how to live with each other. You know, even this workshop that Karen and Richard just put on, you know, I learned so much. I'm like a sponge. I want to learn. I have such a desire to learn more on how to live life and be happy. That's the one thing I don't know how to do on my own. And you guys teach me how to do that. And it's funny how at different stages, you know, I have a friend that's here today. Quite a few years ago, she had shown me this. Applying the traditions to relationships, and I didn't get it. I didn't understand how you could possibly do that, because at that stage of my development, the traditions were just a bunch of hoopla that we used in meetings on how to keep a bunch of sick people from fighting in a meeting. I really didn't get it, how the traditions could make a relationship work for the better. And now, actually, I go to a couples meeting, and that's what that whole meeting is based on. And it's just so incredible when we can take these traditions that are the same throughout all the 12-step groups and start applying them to relationships. It's not just romantic relationships, but I can apply them in my job settings, with my children, with my parents, with my just anybody. most importantly with myself. I didn't know how to have that healthy, loving relationship with myself. And I see now how that was all stemmed with that relationship with myself and my higher power. So slowly, one day at a time, I mean, you guys are helping me become the person I've always wanted to be when nobody's looking. And it's not perfect yet, but it's I'm getting more and more tools every day. Like I said, like in this last communication workshop, I mean, there's so many tools there that I, you know, actually me and a friend were just talking about it, how it should be common sense. And it looks so easy when I see it on paper, but it's when I'm in the heat of the moment, I forget all of this stuff. But it's progress, not perfection. And I know every once in a while, in the heat of life, it doesn't matter what kind of situation I'm going through, I can practice these principles in all of my affairs. You know, most of my story isn't alcohol-related anymore, but it's dealing with life on life's terms. And that's where I'm so glad I am still allowed to keep coming back, because alcohol doesn't play a huge factor in my life, and yet it's that whole alcoholism that I know will always be there. So, am I out of time yet? I can't do this alone. I know that. And, you know, every day I struggle with more and more. I'm a huge codependent. And in the past, I mean, I hate doing that. Well, I don't hate this. But I just, in the past, there's no way I could have stood in front of a room full of people like this, because I would look around the room and I would find one person that isn't happy and I'd think, oh my gosh, they don't like me. And I would just feel absolutely horrible. You know, so through these programs, I'm realizing it's not my job to sit here and please all of you. If I hope at least one of you can get something out of what I'm talking about tonight, and if you can't, well, I guess that's your stuff. But and I'm really just grabbing at the straws here now, because Richard says I've still got 5 minutes to go. So, but no, I'm really loving life today. I really am. You know, I'm learning to, when I can practice these principles in all of my affairs, like when it comes to work. Right now I'm overbooking myself with work, and it's getting close to the snow flying. And me, I want to please everybody, so I'm booking all of these jobs, and I don't really need the work or the money. And yet now I'm starting to see the insanity that it creates in myself. And so now I'm having to start put up some boundaries. And in the past, I wouldn't have known how to do that. I would have just blamed them. You know, now I can look at my part on what's going on. I didn't know how to do that before. You know, like the speaker here earlier said, that was all blaming everybody else for the wrongdoings in my life. And that's how I went through life. Now I'm looking at my part. What is it I'm doing that's creating this chaos in my life and making me unhappy? You know, when I invite people into my life and into my circle of friends and companions, it's interesting to see how I've always played a part. You know, when I did those steps and look and continually do those steps and look back on my past to see how everything, the part that I've played in it all, I didn't know how to do that. And, you know, like Shelley had said too, I'm just so glad that I can go back to step one. Because any time my life gets unmanageable, I've heard a few different people say, you know, we do steps 1 to 9 as quickly as we possibly can, and then 10, 11, 12 for the rest of our lives. And I believe in that 10, 11, 12 for the rest of our lives, but quite often my life can get unmanageable. So thank God I have step one I can go back to I have somewhere to fall. You know, I don't have to fall all the way back. Because sometimes step 10 doesn't clean up the wreckage if I let it get too unmanageable. So I'm just so grateful that we have these steps and I can continually work them and keep going to meetings and keep sharing my experience, strength, and hope and listen to you guys, because I learn way more from listening than I do from talking. So anyways, I can't scramble for another 2 minutes. I'm just thank you all for being here for me, though.
I was just reminded of why I wanted Stacy here. It was I love the honesty and the humility that he brings, whether it's sharing from a podium or sharing in a meeting. I mean, what you just heard was 100% pure Stacy. Okay. Next guy who's going to share is our friend Bruce. Bruce is a guy who brings that same element of honesty and humility to everything that I see him do. And a guy who expresses a willingness and a commitment to this thing that I find admirable. With that, I'd like to call Bruce up to share. And he's very articulate.
Thanks, Richard. My name is Bruce, and I'm a Grateful Member of Al-Anon, and I'm a double winner, I guess. I'm like Stacy. I'm in a few programs, and yeah, it's really good to be here, and good to be at the journey. Is that a little bit better? Okay. Yeah, it's good to be here, The Journey to Serenity, and I actually thought I was going to speak yesterday, so I was kind of surprised that me and Richard had a bit of a communication problem, so, but, well, that's okay, I'll come and speak tonight, so, yeah, I was actually kind of thinking about this earlier today. I was at work and kind of dogging it, and, you know, I was thinking about what I was going to say, so that works out. The fellowship. Together we can make it. That's what you said, right? I guess I thought about that and the fellowship. And, yeah, the fellowship's a huge part of the program for me. And I guess, first off, I think a sponsorship probably in this program. That's probably the closest fellowship I've had. And, yeah, that's a chance for me to get to know someone on a personal basis in this program, at least one person, and for him to get to know me. And it's easy to put up walls when you come to meetings, and it's not always easy to get to know people, and it's easy to feel guarded. And I think especially from a male perspective, like when I go to, you know, we're kind of the minority in the program, and it's easy to think, well, these people don't understand my problems, and I can't relate to theirs, and it's a barrier. But you know, having a sponsor it's been an opportunity to get to know another guy really well in the program, and for him to get to know me, and it's broken down those walls for me, and I become more open with just other guys who I meet in the program. And I'm a pretty guarded person, I think, I don't always open up. So that's helped me a lot. And just going to meetings and the people I've met, I can meet someone in a meeting and not know them, and then after a meeting we exchange a couple words. Next thing we're having like a pretty deep conversation about our life experiences, and that's, you know, where does that happen? It doesn't happen to me, you know, in a bar or at work or wherever, right? So it's pretty cool to have that. And yeah, it's a wee program, you know. It's you can't do it on your own. It's not meant to be done at home, just on your own. And yeah, having friends in the program is really important. It's you know, it's hard for me to connect sometimes with people outside the program. I've spent about 7 years going to meetings, and that's, you know, I never really got to know anyone very well, or them get to know me before I started going to meetings. So, and especially Al-Anon, that's, it's gotten me in touch with my feelings and learning about, you know, my emotions, how other people feel, and learn to communicate those things. And then I can take that outside to other relationships like work or romantic relationships or my family. And I've never got that anywhere else. So, being in the fellowship, I've got to meet a pretty diverse group of people and different professions and, you know, different walks of life. And that's been really beneficial. It's something that I wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. And it's enriched my life quite a bit. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really know what to say. Fellowship. It's something that's you know, I'm working at, and it's ongoing, and you know, it takes time. But I've really been enjoying the people I've got to know in the program so far, and it's good being here. And I hope to get to know more people this weekend and hear more of your stories. And I think that's all I'm going to share for tonight. But thanks, Richard, for asking me to share.
We got this this parade going of humble guys, and we're going to keep it going. I think this is the first time I've invited somebody back to the 4x10. It's a fill-in kind of thing. I actually had somebody phone me a while back and ask if they could speak in the 4x10, but then they didn't register for the festival. coming to my rescue, as he often does, is my best friend in the world, Ian.
Hi, I'm Ian, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Ian.
Can you hear me at the back? Okay. I literally wasn't 100% sure until 30 seconds ago that I was coming up here to talk. I knew there was still a potential for this other person to show up, and so I'm unprepared. But, you know, that's how I face life. I'm unprepared for life, too. So this is just taking life as it happens, I guess. I'm really grateful to be here. This was going to be the first year that I really didn't have a role to play at the festival. And I guess Richard had to change that for me because he felt I belonged here or something. Anyway, what do I want to share? There's lots I can share. First thing I'm going to do is take my timer out. If you're like me and you're an adult child, before you got into program, you probably felt different than everybody else. I know I did. I couldn't really put my finger on what it was, but somehow I felt like I didn't belong. And maybe I need to go right back to the beginning and say, by the way, I didn't grow up in an alcoholic home. So I could never point at alcoholism as I was growing up. There wasn't something obvious going on. But I always felt different, and I couldn't put a finger on it. I felt like I wasn't good enough. And it's not because I was always told I wasn't good enough, but sometimes I was told I wasn't good enough. And I felt like there was nothing special about me. I felt like, for whatever reason, something in life was really scary. And I had to be really, really careful, otherwise bad things would happen to me. I don't know where that came from. To this day, I don't know where that came from. But it was always there in the background. I grew up in a French community, and I was the only English guy kind of on my block. So certainly I was different there. But throughout my growing up years, I always kind of felt like that person who was on the outside looking in at everybody else living life, right? All my neighbors would go away to camp in the summer, and I'd be there by myself, counting down the days till I could go back to school, and that I was back belonging somewhere. And that happened to me every summer. I was the only boy in my family. I had several sisters. And just kind of growing up with always feeling a little bit lonely, a little bit separate, a little bit different, and always that underlying fear that there was something wrong, and I didn't know what it was. Get up into adulthood, and those feelings were all still there. Don't know why. And when I started dating people, I started... there's only a very few people I ever dated, but there was this pattern. I found needy people. They seemed to be people who needed somebody to help them, needed somebody to help them through, needed somebody to take care of them. And if I went in there and did a good job of taking care of them, then I felt like I was needed, that I was worthy, and that I belonged. But underlying that, there was always that feeling that if they really got to know me, they'd walk away. Okay? And I always had this sense, I could see other people experiencing God in their lives. That was something I grew up around. But at the same time, I always thought I wasn't quite good enough for that. I didn't qualify. Anyway, enough of the sob story. That just kind of tells you about the kinds of feelings I brought into adulthood. Can't explain where they came from, just know that they were there. And at the very deepest basis thing going on here is a fear of rejection and a fear of abandonment. A fear that I'm not good enough to be loved and nobody's going to love me if they really know me. So in the relationship where I eventually got married and I'm going out with this person and, you know, we have kids together and there are problems in our relationship. There's lots of things that are taboo subjects that we don't talk about. At some point, the relationship's getting worse and worse. I'm trying harder and harder to control things, to make things work, to try and fulfill that person's needs, because that's what my role was. And it all started falling apart. At that time, she started getting into Al-Anon. She discovered she was an adult child. Her father was an active alcoholic. She had never known it because she'd grown up with it all her life. I started going to Al-Anon to help her. After going for 6 months, it finally dawned on me when somebody came and talked to me and said, you know, you look like you're troubled here at this meeting. And I said, yeah, I think this stuff applies to me too, but I don't know why. Right? And at that point, something changed. Something changed because that feeling of not belonging, of not being good enough, suddenly I was in a place where people seemed to get where I was coming from. People seemed to feel what I had always felt. People were taking their problems there, and they were getting better. And that gave me hope. For the first time in my life, I could point at these feelings I was having, and then I could also point at other people that had them too, but weren't feeling that way anymore. Right? Together we can make it. I got here not realizing I had no hope. I got here when my life had totally fallen apart, and I found hope in your faces. I found hope in the 12 steps. I found hope in your stories. I found hope in your higher power, right? You guys gave me that gift, a gift I couldn't give myself. On my own, I couldn't make it. But together, you guys have helped me make it. This picture up here, I remember when we first used it at the first festival I was at. And some people complained and said, that's not my story. I don't think we should use that. And it wasn't my story either. But it was my story... excuse me. It was my story this past weekend. I was at a family reunion. And we were walking on the beach out in BC, out at Long Beach. And, you know, it wasn't exactly that makeup, but I was with my two sisters, I was with my three kids, I was with, you know, their girlfriends. And I was thinking about this picture. And I was thinking, I could never see myself in that picture before. It was an ideal. But now, in my family of origin, I can have that. And it's because of the healing in Al-Anon that has allowed me to re-engage in those relationships, right? To practice the principles I've learned here, to basically love unconditionally, the way you guys taught me how to love, right? I didn't bring in all the resentments. I didn't bring in all the crap. I didn't bring in those feelings of not being adequate enough. I brought me, and I gave them the gift of unconditional love. And they gave it back to me. And I got to experience that. And that's what togetherness here brings. That's the gift of this program. That's a loving higher power who loves me unconditionally, Al-Anon members who love me unconditionally. It's running into somebody someplace that you've never met before. You start talking, you find out they're in addiction services, and you talk for the next 2 hours about your experiences. And you connect, and you don't even know the guy's name, you know. And you just feel that togetherness, that commonness, and that idea that this program is a miracle, that this program heals. It's unbelievable. And, you know, it's our 12 steps. It's you guys, and it's our togetherness. And I'm really, really grateful for all of you. And I'm grateful to get up here and bawl like a baby like I usually do. Thank you.